Hello, Natalia.
Hey, Masha.
All right, talking about regeneration, which is a term that I love now. I'm going to use that all the time. Is this regenerating for me? Beautiful. So let's first start talking about just the process of regeneration and what that really means to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mentioned that in the first audio that I got into this subject because, you know, like everybody else, the clock is ticking and I'm getting older. And I didn't believe that the common approach to aging, just like the common approach to consuming, was necessarily what had to be the case. It had to be the common story, or the story or the refrain in my life, because it was probably something that we didn't know, because as usual, the truths are hidden. And in our generation, so much wisdom has been lost. So just as it's been lost with child, you know, the wisdom around childbirth and caring for the human body and all different things have been lost over time. And this was probably one that has been lost, confused, and is needing to be sort of laid back on the right track. So that got me interested, and so I started investigating and thinking about aging in terms of universal law, which I hold everything up against. And as I did so, I started to make sense of it and understand why we have this, what I call modern deterioration situation happen. I like to differentiate between modern deterioration and common or natural aging, because natural aging is not what we're seeing. What we're seeing is something altogether physically bizarre.
Right.
The things that the body is doing are distinct mutations.
Some examples of that?
Well, think about even just where, like, the bulges on the face and chin and neck, where they occur, the discoloration under the eyes and the weight under the eyes and the sagging skin and the tissue quality around the skin, the formation of, you know, the Aborigines or the natives of any culture that weren't exposed to modern living experienced as their outward manifestation as they went around the sun, as they got, quote, older, does not mean the body doesn't change as you go around the sun, but because there are things that we're exposed to and the body is having to be a barrier, the skin is a barrier, the organs are processing, so there's going to be change, but what we're seeing is a real distortion. So I wanted to understand that better, and I wanted to be able to differentiate between natural aging and modern deterioration, and so doing just really plugging everything I was seeing up into natural law, or universal law, and you know what I came up with was so much of it comes back to what we know about healthy cells and dietetics. It all connects because youth regeneration. It is the same for, you know, a cell as it is for a whole organism, and the things that are intrinsic to youth and well-being are going to be the same in every case.
Right.
But it's taking those principles and then applying them for this particular purpose and then pulling out strategically the principles, or rather the practices, the practical applications that would best apply to utilize those principles. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So like we say, well, here's natural law, okay, but now I want to apply it for youth regeneration, which is going to still wind up be applying to all the other benefits that you'll have from it, but apply it to that, and what specifically do I need to do based on these things I know are going to come at me? For example, if we know that that we're experiencing a life where we're living in a physical world that has gravity and levity, but we're only experiencing the gravity of it,
right,
and we're not engaging the levity, then we're really missing out.
Yes.
So there are all these factors that even though, so once you define the universal law, then you can start figuring out, well, you know, what are the practices, what are the practical applications that would stem from this naturally and make sense to apply so that I could benefit from knowing the law and joining forces. I talk about in the first audio about how the biggest mistake is to oppose nature.
Yeah.
So and the correct move is to sync up with nature's momentum. Mm. So the question becomes then, you know, how can I sync up with nature's momentum? And these practices enable you to do that. So they're just they're tools. They're things that just work. And they've been around forever, but
right.
In our culture, we just don't know about them. I'm finding out, actually, it's funny because people from other countries come up to me all the time and we'll have a conversation, so I'll just be meeting them by and they'll find out what I do, and they'll say, oh, you know, colonics, you know, everybody in Israel does colonics, or everyone in Austria does colonics. We've always done them. It's like a matter of course.
I love that we're communicating telepathically, because I was just about to ask you, are there any other countries that are an example of living more in nature, or other cultures that do this?
And well, the further we get away from nature, the less you'll find that, and the closer you get to nature, the more you'll find it. So you'll find more of it, you know, in Eastern Europe, but you'll find even more of it in the indigenous cultures in South America, perhaps, and different places. But the problem is that the West has really infiltrated everything with colonization.
Right.
So it's just everything's kind of wearing the just sort of the sheath or the garment of the Western world now. So it's really hard to determine. But what you can discover is that people who seek out truth do embody this and live it, and you'll find people at, you know, much older ages doing that. They're few and far between, but they do exist.
Because I know, because I'm a very visual person, so I would almost like to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would almost want to see somebody who lives in this very, you know, life-generating way, who lives with nature, what that looks like at 90.
Yeah. Well, I think we can see that in pictures of, say, maybe men and women in Southeast Asia.
Right,
who,
like
but
Thailand.
Then, you know, at the same time, they're working in rice fields, and they're consuming rice. You want, but at the same time, they're in the sun, and they're in the light, and they're not getting all the toxicity. And what you find is they do get wrinkled up because they're in the sun all day, but they're depending on, you know, what they're exposed to, obviously not the ones that are, you know, going through labor practices that are inhumane.
Right.
But, you know, villages with authentic communities, they have that upward motion. So they might be wrinkled, but the inner smile that they've carried through their life shows on their face. So everything's up. You know, my husband is, he's in his early 50s, and his eyes have little cute little wrinkles, but everything's up. You know, he's been a joyful man his whole life.
Right.
So
yeah, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I used to spend all of my summers with my grandmother in the south of France.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these women just all, like, they were in the sun practically all year round, even in the winter when it was cold. Like, they were just all lunch outside. And, and my grandmother was very joyous, very full of joy, always smiling. And she did, and I'll show you pictures of her, she did have wrinkles, but like you're describing, they turned more upwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was something, there was a glow about her and a elasticity about her skin that seemed, I don't know, it just, like, she would be the perfect example of somebody who was, you know, an elderly woman, but who aged very beautifully and very gracefully.
Right, and I think what the mistake is to look for some sort of porcelain flawlessness
right.
as a measure of a beautiful aging process.
Right. No, she was, I mean, she was tan and, you know.
A little bit leathery, maybe.
Yeah, she had that leathery tan look,
but it's only Americans that have this wacky woo kind of idea of what beauty is.
Mm.
You know, Anna was, I was just sharing a story, Anna was in Berlin recently, and there was a woman at the table who was staring at her teeth, or staring at her, and she, you know, she looked up, and the woman says, "Your teeth are so white." And Anna doesn't get teeth whitening, but she naturally has white teeth. She's taking care of her teeth, and I know that she will sometimes use a little homemade concoction of baking soda and peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person at the table just laughed and said, "Oh, but she's an American," and the whole table laughed because it's just like everyone knows, like, Americans are just, they're so after perfection, but it's like a joke.
Right.
It's like an inside joke to everyone else but Americans.
Mm.
And it just is so, it's such a relief, because it goes to show that, you know, when we see these things, and when we're, when the people who listen to this audio or the people whose ears perk up when they hear something, a modicum of truth, can rest assured that they're on the right track, that if they believe that it's a madness and they don't want to subscribe to it, they're the ones that are right. It's the people who are obsessed with this external perfection that have gone nutty.
Yeah. Well, there's this beautiful quote by Helen Keller who says, the most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Mm. And that really resonated with me because it's like, what is beautiful anyway? Like, how do we define this anymore, you know?
It's
like,
so true. In fact, my dentist, I took my kids, you know, to get their teeth cleaned, and he looks at me and says, you know, Natalia, this side of your face is this, and he says, if you would just let me whiten your teeth and bond them, and I have great teeth. I mean, my teeth are like champion chompers, okay? They get me around.
Yeah, you have beautiful teeth. You need beautiful teeth to go through all that raw food that you eat.
Yeah, but they're like dysfunctional teeth. They're
yes.
really good to me.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been tempted to whiten them.
Right.
And then he comes up to me and says, you know, you really should have them whitened. And you should let me bond them, too, and do this to them.
Right.
And really, I think my teeth look fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been whitened, and they're not perfectly white. I mean, if I was to walk down the red carpet in the Academy Awards, I'm sure they'd stick up like a sore thumb amongst all these, like,
right.
you know, uber white teeth. But the fact is, I don't want to risk the integrity of the bone of my teeth.
Right.
And I said, joking to them, I said, you know, look, it's taken me 36 years to get comfortable and happy with my body and accept the way I look, and now you're telling me that my face is uneven, that my teeth need to be white and bonded. And I'm thinking to myself, thank God I'm as strong as I am. You know, I can walk out of this and let it roll off my back, and I can totally approve of myself nonetheless. But you know, if people are getting these messages, and if there's any little bit of imperfection, it needs to be fixed. That is such a madness.
It's driven by consumer. I mean, we have to forgive him. It's because, you know, this is how he makes his living.
Yeah.
You know, this is how he's marketing
exactly.
himself.
Exactly.
Right. So, you know, we forgive him for his madness, but but that's just the way that he's making his money.
No,
I mean,
it's absolutely, and that's, it's totally forgivable. And I think if somebody did have weak teeth and there was they needed an implant or there's something like that, that's one thing. But to take a perfectly healthy mouth, and this is what's so dangerous. People are taking this is the core of I think what all this youth regeneration discussion needs to be about. We're taking vital, useful, functional parts of our body and the organism, which is filled with the life force, which only exists because of the life force, and we're expending it, and we're devaluing it to do something else to it. For example, just because we're talking about the subject of teeth, you know, taking something that has good bone integrity, and then potentially, you know, that he insists that it won't degrade the quality of my enamel or my teeth at all. But I don't necessarily believe that.
I don't believe it either. I know. I mean, my husband's a dentist,
yeah.
so but like we have this conversation all the time. Like it's just it will increase sensitivity. It will just and you know, like they're doing just a lot of crazy stuff in this world. Like my husband does root canals, and he's all about saving the tooth. You know, as opposed to ripping it out, putting in something foreign in the body, putting an implant in, and that's a lot of what they're doing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's about, like, the most, like, what's going to be better for your body?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be better for your immune system, for your life force, you know?
What's going to hold the integrity
yeah.
of what actually is going to serve you later in life?
And that's saving your tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these different things, and we all have to listen and get all of this advice from people, like you say in the first audio, who are not fuzzy brained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like for another great example is these skin creams. I guess I won't name names. I've learned I shouldn't do that. That will silence the acne and they'll cover things up, but they're putting something into your bloodstream that's going to mess with your organs, mess with your hormones, all these things. But you know, but you have the perfect skin on the outside. So basically, what you have when you see people walking around living a normal life and looking good. Is you have people that are festering and covering it up because either you're going to live normally and you're going to look pretty horrible or you're going to live normally and you're going to cover it up or you're going to live as clean a lifestyle and revere the natural universal laws to the best of your ability and look pretty awesome just because.
Mm.
You can't live normally unless you have amazing genes and you're very young.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And what's most painful is that the people who don't feel good about themselves look around and they see people who look a certain way, but they don't know what's gone into their look.
Mm.
You know, and I can say firsthand I do because, you know, I've been doing this for over a decade on the Upper East Side. And I know what everybody's doing,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty intense, and it's happening not just with the affluent; it's happening with everyone now because everyone everyone thinks they're going to have their 15 minutes because pretty much everyone is having their 15 minutes.
Right.
They want to be ready for it.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate, yeah, let's carry on. But all these factors, all these principles, are going to strengthen the integrity of the cells, bring in the life force. Help conduct the life force, value the integrity of what you already have as opposed to selling it off, giving it away, pretending that it's not worth anything, not even realizing it's worth something.
Right.
When it's almost like you're being, you know, you're a kid and you've got a pocket full of gold and you're walking along the street and some peddler wants to trade you gold for some sort of toy, or maybe it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. In this case, there's no beanstalk. But that's basically what it is. We're just giving away our vitality, our power, to things that are of no value. And that's what is so irksome. And that's the point I want to get across to anyone who's been feeling confused by any of this, by growing up in a world where this seems to be the message, or by feeling like, you know, if they can't bankroll a facelift, they're, you know, going to somehow be of less value. Or
right.
Anyone who's feeling insecure about anything to do with this aging process or even the deterioration of the body in general needs to know this.
Yes, it's really important because also, you know, this is another thing that I was listening to when I was listening to your audio is that, let's say somebody is listening to this and they're in their, I don't know, late 40s. Can you start now to really, like, turn back the time?
Oh, you can start at any point.
Okay.
I believe that, you know, you're always going to, there's always going to be a beneficial result and effect. The thing is that if you follow the principles that are in the first audio and you remove the obstruction, you get the vitality, the electrons flowing through the body,
mm-hmm.
you engage the flexibility, you sleep properly, meaning flat on your back, you get enough sleep, you start to be very cautious about how you expend your energy, your life force.
Mm.
That, you know, that force is your currency. You know, you don't give that away. You start
that makes sense. I've never heard you say that about sleeping flat on your back.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense.
Yeah, it's really
yeah.
important. In fact, my grandmother did that. And she actually, you know, no pillow. And that's really how it should be. It should be no pillow. It should be flat on the back. And if you watch children, babies especially, or babies and even kids up until, even my kids still do this to this day. They'll wake up with their arms stretched out over their heads, and I notice that when I'm in a really good space, or I'm fasting, or you know, just if I'm really in a whole space and I'm
uh-huh.
sleeping well, I'll wake up like that too.
Yeah, that's how I wake up: arms overhead,
uh-huh.
flat on my back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
I never thought of it. I just thought it was just me. But.
Yeah, but all this, you know, look. For some people, they just love to sleep on their stomach instead of it. That's all fine and good. It's just that it doesn't do the face a very good service when
right, because all your blood is kind of going. Yeah, it just
and
makes sense.
Yeah, if you fall asleep like that after you've had a wild night, you'll wake up very, very puffy. and remember that anyway, this is another biggie. However you hold your face. So if you're living a stressed out life, and this goes back to that that upward flame versus that the downward thing, which is death, like going down to the grave.
Right.
If you're living a stressed out life, if your expression is always kind of crimped and down, well, that's what you're going to feel. Remember there was that One Crazy Summer, that movie a long time ago, and the girl made the face, and the guy said, well, careful, you know, your face is going to stick like that?
Yes.
Well, that's basically what's happening. I mean,
well, you can see, like, some people, like, who worry a lot, you have
mm-hmm.
that little line between the eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're, like, always constantly, like, just, like, furring, whatever it's called,
yeah,
furring.
Yeah, the eyebrows get all furred up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has that, and every time, whenever she goes in the sun, she always has the white mark in between,
oh, really?
Yeah, where she, you know, because she always has her face like that. It's really funny.
Yeah, it's interesting that would happen so quickly.
Right.
I just
wanted to interrupt you for 1 second. Like, I have lines around my mouth,
mm-hmm.
and I tell my husband every once in a while, I'm like, look at that. Look at these lines. They're really deep. And he's like, but that's because you smile and you laugh so much. Like, that's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a big difference. Lines like that don't make you look unappealing. When we talk about age, too, like, looking older is not necessarily looking less sexy or looking less attractive.
Mm.
If you're talking about those sorts of things. It's the weight around the eyes. It's the droopiness. It's the lack of integrity in the skin. You can be wrinkled and still have that elasticity, as you referred to your grandmother.
Uh-huh.
So that lack of elasticity comes from it's a reflection of the internal system. It's the organs, the intestine, all being sluggish in there. And so the facial skin is always going to be a mirror of what's going on inside. So if the cells are clean, you can pretty much kick back and rest assured that you're not going to have big face falling issues occurring.
Right.
And then of course, there's this other huge component that I'm so excited to share with people, which is the facial rejuvenation exercises. And we're going to put them into a separate kind of delivery system because we just they need to be illustrated somehow. Either we're going to video them or we're going to draw them or something. But but it's really amazing because the skin, the muscles on the face, people just completely forget about them. And there's very little literature out there about facial rejuvenation exercises. And what I've found has only been marginally good. There are issues I've had with it and I've improved upon it. So I really look forward to sharing this. But, you know, one of the things I can try and share right now, which is a great one,
mm-hmm.
Is if you want to lift up that area around your eyes and just strengthen that, and just keep in mind that your muscles on your face, they're everywhere, and you can manipulate any part of your face to tighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're going to get into this separately, but and the information, we'll get it out there to you. Don't, rest assured it's really awesome.
Don't worry.
Yeah. I was very excited to discover it a couple of years ago, and I've been playing with it ever since. But if you, the muscles on your face they're thin, so they don't need a lot of repetition. They just need to get to that burnout feeling when you just they get tired, they get worn down in a good sense. You've tired the muscle,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't take much because the muscles are so thin on the face. So it's just if you even did it twice or three times a week maximum, you don't need to do more than that. You just take it to exhaustion and then you're done. And if you did say 3 or 4 facial exercises, we're talking about a few minutes a week. It's really not a big deal.
Mm.
But one that I love, and if everyone can follow me on this. Is I'll give you 2 actually. One is if again this is for the eye, the lower eye area and the cheeks. So if you take your tongue out and stretch it out and straight down.
Okay, I'm doing it.
You'll feel that area on your cheekbones and your eyes will just it'll tighten up.
Oh.
And you do that. You open and close and open and close. So you open your jaw and stick your tongue out as low as you can. And then bring it back in, and then out and in. And you do that maybe like 15 times, and you should feel it.
And do it in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah, drop it off. Just imagine us, yeah.
Don't do this out at a restaurant.
Yeah, in your car. They say, you might just freak somebody out next to you. But you could do it in your car, conceivably. And then the other one is basically the opposite motion where you stick your tongue out, and you lift your tongue, the tip of your tongue, to touch your nose.
Mm.
So everybody do that with me now. So lift your tongue straight out and then take the tip and try and reach the nose. And you'll see you have to really, as you jet it out, I want you to feel what happens underneath your chin.
Mm.
Doesn't it suction up?
Mm-hmm.
It goes straight up. And that will tighten your lower chin. That will prevent double chin.
Yes, which is always my big thing.
So those are 2 really big ones, and I've got so many more to share.
Oh, my God.
They're really awesome.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is so great. Who knew? Who knew that this could exercise your face? Wow.
This is the thing. I mean, unless you hammer down the doors of knowledge, you don't find diddly. But if you do, and you just don't stop, you'll find what you're looking for.
Now, let me ask you something about, meditation. I once read that meditation can really help for growing younger, to really help the mind stay intact.
Mm-hmm.
Something about, you know, like just increases, it lowers the stress chemical, like it lowers, meditation, like it says, it lowers like cortisol. So when you lower cortisol, it's you're lowering your stress. And when you lower your stress, then that affects your aging process, you know, that kind of thing. What do you think, like, in terms of meditation for, as a practice for regeneration?
So I wanted to think about it in terms of dissonance.
Mm.
Versus harmony,
mm.
and that the face is always going to be a mirror, and the cells are always going to mirror what the energetic state of your body is.
Mm.
So what meditation will do is it will turn your system from being one of intense dissonance to one of harmony.
Mm.
And, you know, 15 minutes a day meditation in a crazy, stressful life, it may help you collect yourself a bit, but it's not going to transform your cells.
Right.
So the goal with this is to live a life where your life is a walking meditation,
mm.
not where you're thinking about it being a meditation, but it becomes so effortless. And that takes attention, it takes desire most of all. It takes intent.
Right.
So, but absolutely. But what you're doing is we're taking, in the first audio we talked about the mental chaos.
Mm.
So that mental chaos is going to show up in every cell of your body, and it's going to be mirrored on your face. If you can't hide that, you know, you can't pretend. There's no, you know, you can cover things up with plastic surgery and with veneers and all these different things, but there's a facade that's forced.
Right.
And that's, you can't force this. This has to be authentic.
Yeah.
Or it's never going to work.
Yeah.
So if it's feeling forced and you genuinely want it, then you have to keep working at it and figuring out what is the blockage. And that's where recapitulation comes in so handy. We talked about recapitulation in another audio,
mm-hmm.
Where you go over all the events and people and all these things in your life and your programs and your conditions so you can figure out what's keeping you from or where your vision and your understandings are cloudy, are clouded by and are standing in your way of the flow, of
mm-hmm.
effortlessness, of truth in a way. Because if you're constantly caught up in cultural conditionings, and that's all part of your programming because of, you know, all these things you bought into, but so early on in life that you didn't really consciously think about it,
right?
It's become interwoven in you, and so that is what drives us to be in states of chaos. Because if we're constantly seeking approval, if we need to get up the ladder, the corporate ladder, if we need to have a showpiece of a home or a body or something for other people's approval, then we're basically going to just be running ourselves ragged every day.
Mm.
And that's going that chaos
that's
is
blocking the life
everywhere.
Force. Yeah.
Yeah, it blocks life force, and it's going to show. It's just like I don't know how many people would have known, I think it's pretty popular. Dr. Emoto's water, his messages in water.
Yes.
So
of course,
just so the formations, the crystallizations of the water molecules take on the energy that they're being imprinted with, and some of them are beautiful and some of them are ugly depending
mm.
on what they've been imprinted with.
Mm-hmm.
So and when I say beautiful and ugly kind of, you know, loosely.
No, I understand what you're
but,
saying.
But basically that's the answer, that meditation is a way to quiet the mind, clear the mind, so it's not, you're not walking around in the monkey mind and the mental fuzziness
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't make any decisions about anything. And
right.
And then you'll gain that harmony, that you'll remove the dissonance, gain the harmony, and then that will start to show. But that has to become a walking experience. It has
right.
to be something that you basically do for the majority of the time.
You know, I have to share with everyone just like this little practice that I've been doing for a while. It's been kind of uncomfortable, but I've been really sticking with it, is just asking myself every day, like, what am I blocking from myself? What truth am I not willing to own up? And, you know, it's been kind of a challenge for me, because the truth is always something, you know, you just want, I don't know, like there's always something very uncomfortable about the truth when you're willing to face it.
Yeah, it's extremely brave, Masha.
Yeah, but then it's extremely liberating.
Yeah.
Like I faced some really big truths, I would say, in like the last couple of weeks, things that I was deliberately not wanting to face up or own up to. And, oh my God, it was like, I feel like a million bucks right now. Actually, I mean, I actually have like a little bit of a cold and stuff, which is, I'm sure, like a residual response to some of the chaos that I allowed myself to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never felt lighter or just, I don't know, amazing.
It's
I feel like a kid. I feel like a kid. Like I felt like a kid before, but I feel like a bigger kid.
You're in a state of grace.
Right.
That's what it is. And when you triumph over a limitation, that's when you have that state of grace. It sweeps through you. And what's amazing about it is you then have so much more to impart in the world and so much more to give. You release all so many hooks. Just with one realization that you're willing to accept, all these hooks come flying out of you, and you can pull, you know, energetic hooks out of other people that you've been maybe vampiring their energy to.
Right. And you talk about that in the first audio about the pain. You know, that pain. You said it like a we did an audio a while back, and pain is a call for change. And we're all so afraid of feeling the pain. And I'm not going to say like some of the things that I have to face up or hear or whatever. They were painful, but once I kind of just heard it and the initial sting or the initial, you know, whatever stuck, it felt good afterwards.
Well, those things are pure youth regeneration tools.
Yeah.
So anyone who can take that on as their challenge will remove all these blockages, all these things that would otherwise give them a dysfunctionality, an unseemly sort of marking physically as well, and tire them. It would show in their face. So the more of these you can overcome, the less it's going to show on you.
Right. And I think, you know, like even just a little practice of, and not to like sound like kitschy or anything, but like even just like make a list of all the things that you would say to somebody if you could just tell the truth. Like, you know, and I did this, and it was kind of funny. Like I wrote this list, you know, about myself, you know, that I failed math almost every single year in high school. You know, that's a truth about myself, you know, that I don't really like to talk about too much, but that I love chocolate more than any other food in the world. That's a truth.
Those are great examples.
You know, like there's just certain things that I still sometimes see myself as a chubby 13-year-old little girl. You know, I still think that almost everybody else is smarter than me.
Really?
Yeah, every once in a while. Like, I still sometimes get, you know, that insecurity of thinking that everyone else knows more than me and I should just listen to them, and then I just laugh at it because I know that that's, like, just an illusion I've created for myself.
Yeah.
But these are truths that I, you know, yeah, like, they're, you know, you say really, but okay. Yeah, totally. Like, that's how I feel at times. And by me owning up to these truths that are sometimes false.
Stories.
Yeah,
story.
These stories that I've told myself, but they're like, you know, there's things that sometimes I believe and I have to kind of just own up to them, then I'm liberating myself.
Completely.
Because I can laugh at them, I can, you know, just, and it's so freeing, you know, and I made this list, and this list went on, and it was funny after a while, you know, because then I wanted everyone to know about them. I wanted everyone to know about all these things that maybe they didn't know about Mosh, you know? Like, these are the things that sometimes I think about. And I think, you know, once I put them down on paper, they became adorable. So
I think everyone listening to this should do that.
And
it's fun. I think your examples really help. If you think of any others, you must share them because I think they jog people's memories.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I'll send you a whole list and I'll...
I'll publish a list.
Yeah, you'll publish them. Like, you've got to out... Sometimes you have to out your ego.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just take her out. Take her out and just, you know, like, look, make her look as ridiculous as possible.
And, you know, it forces us also to be much more forgiving because the very things that are true about us, you know, we would freak out maybe if somebody else said honestly to us about themselves, you know, and we have to be really clear that we're really all the same.
Yes.
You know, our behaviors, we've all been conditioned to be the same.
Yes.
And we've also, when we remove all the conditionings, we're also the same. Our authenticity is still, not that we're clones of each other, not by any stretch.
No.
But that the inclinations are the same. So, you know, whereas people in separation consciousness are all the same in terms of the greed and the neediness and the sense of lack, people in unity consciousness are in states of grace. And are ready to conduct and share, and so and then you can knowing what the consciousness is of the person that you're with or you're engaging with in some way, you'll be able to determine just how to trust that person in a smart way, functional trust.
And I think that times like the, you know, times of insecurity, times of recession, times of whatever, you know, is going on in the world that can be a little bit painful, I think it brings out this desire to be more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to share more when, you know, things like the chips are down,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It just lightens everything
it
up.
It does. There was this quote from Coco Chanel I put on my Facebook the other day,
mm-hmm.
and it said, you know, hard times arouse an instinctive desire for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because, you know, you can see when people are in a crisis mode, their true self kind of shines out,
mm-hmm.
you know, most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not so much posing.
No, there's this humanity that comes out, and it's endearing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Much more pleasant.
You know, not that you want people to suffer or be in pain, but sometimes if that's what it takes for
honesty.
your honest, true, authentic self to come out, it's like, bring it on. Why not? You'll feel so much better as a result of it.
True.
Yeah.
And you realize you have friends where you thought you had enemies.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It's an amazing process.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all think that we really just want to live this, like, happy, joyful, skippy life.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do. I mean, that's a desire. We all want to be happy. But sometimes happiness comes from being through the trenches and knowing what that feels like.
Mm-hmm. And realizing that the happy, skippy that's being portrayed doesn't actually bring a happy, skippy feeling with it.
Right, exactly. So, like, you know, what looks happy sometimes, what you think is happy, kind of takes on a whole new persona
mm-hmm.
when you start to begin this life journey. Like, I know that for me, like, I'm the most happy when I'm at peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that peace ages you much more slowly, just keeping on topic, but...
right, sorry. Let's go back.
No, this is totally on topic. It's all on topic. I just want to remind everybody this is actually really relevant, everything we're talking about here. One of the games, back to nuts and bolts, there's something that's really undermines the facial skin, and that's the daily makeup application and removal.
Mm.
And for a few reasons. One, because the makeup itself is clogging and toxic. Second is because people are just tend to put it on maybe a regular moisturizer. They're not using a natural primer, and what I consider a natural primer would be something like the coconut oil or argan oil. I love the argan oil. There are a few companies that do it. We have one up on the website, but it's my favorite thing. It's pretty much all I think is good enough for my skin.
Really?
Yeah. I'm very picky, and I won't use any of it. I mean, $500
I love
cream
that.
At you know, Thingamabob.
I love that. Is that cream good enough for my skin? You know,
right,
I love that.
Definitely
uh-huh.
not. I mean, whatever. Mm. I can't. Again, I'm not going to name names or department stores. But bottom line is, these, you know, women will shell out anything. And forget the department stores. At the doctor's offices now, they have these, you know, so-called elixirs, loosening agents, and things. It's such nonsense. If it's a chemical, it's mutating your cells, it's toxic, it's clogging, it's going to age you in an unattractive way.
Right.
So it's really important to keep the skin really well moisturized. Now, it's a vicious cycle that when I say moisturized, it's not like, you know, the makeup counter will also tell you need to keep your skin moisturized. It's
mm-hmm.
a completely different system. The one of the big problems is that when because of the way we live, young people wind up with acne, and then they wind up taking things to suppress the acne, and then they have yeast issues because that was part and parcel with the acne, and they spend their lives trying to dry out these things, and it's very confusing for the skin. And so what winds up happening is, you know, when you reach your late 20s, 30s, and you may have felt you've conquered this issue, but you're still getting little nagging breakouts now and then, any kind of moisturizer seems to support that the breakout. So it is really important to have, if you've had issues with breakouts, with acne and acne-prone skin, you do the deep tissue cleansing, but it's also really good to have a good esthetician who can do some regular facial cleaning on you, because the especially if you live in a city like I do, it can be very dense and clogging. The same thing that happens in the intestine in our acidic, polluted world is, and from food, is going to happen on your face if you live in, you know, an acidic environment like we do in New York, like I do in New York,
mm-hmm.
you on lovely Long Island. But but so what winds up happening is people who have these breakout-prone skin, they want to apply an oil, but they can't because they'll break out.
Right.
So it's really important to get the skin cleared out and maintain a clean intestine so that these breakouts aren't happening. And you'll notice when your system is clean, you'll start to recognize if you get little breakouts, it's usually because you've taken in something that's more toxic than usual, or it could be just before your period, and that can still happen even if, you know, even if you're doing everything you can to stay clean, because that's all part of the lineage. That's something that's deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Although it will be greatly improved. But what I'm getting at is your skin has to be clean enough that you can use an oil like an argan oil or the coconut oil on a daily basis.
Yes.
In order to keep the moisture that you need, and that's where people can get very confused. It gets very, very tricky. But that's what has to happen. You have to set it up so your skin's not going to have bacteria running through it, and then you're going to be able to put the oils on, and then you're going to be able to keep the hydration. And you want to apply the oils definitely before you put makeup on. And even if it's just a little bit, if you're using it as some sort of foundation, you want it to be able to really glide over the skin.
Okay.
Because if you're pulling with your fingers on your skin every day, it's going to stretch it out, it's going to pull on the integrity and the elasticity of the skin, and it's not a good thing.
Okay.
So if you know you're going to live that way and you're going to wear makeup every day, then you need to make that exchange. You need to definitely, you know, make sure you're moisturized, you're using the oils, and you might even put a little extra oil, keep a little jar with you, and dab it on in the middle of the day as well. And then you clean your face in the evening, and you make sure that you know, you get rid of all the residue, and then you put the oil on again to go to sleep. So if you want to keep your skin from getting those dried out little fine lines and wrinkles, you've got to keep it very well. I want to just say oiled as opposed to moisturized, because I don't think moisturizing does it in, you know, for today's woman.
Yeah.
Sounds really cheesy. But
I use rose water a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Rose water and is beautiful. Anything that has a high vibration.
Yeah. I just like the scent.
Yeah, is lovely. But that also, you know, brings us back to all these products. They're low vibration. They're not even low vibration. They're cacophonous vibration. They're dissonant.
Right.
They're not healthy for the cells.
Mm.
And that's what we have to keep in mind with everything. You know, it's not to say either that you need to use health food store makeup, because some of that isn't all that good, and most of it doesn't look that good.
Right.
I've yet to come across any that does. So, you know, in my case, I'll if I'm going to use makeup, maybe for a photo shoot or if I've got some sort of event, I'll use a little bit of the Kevin O'Quinn. I like the makeup because it's really high quality. So if I'm going to use makeup, I want it to look good. I don't want to use some sort of, you know, silly stuff or, you know, health food stuff that actually doesn't look very good, makes your skin look ashy. I don't like the mineral makeups. I think they dry your skin out. I think they make you look funny. The color, maybe they're going to get better over time. I don't know. But I didn't like the way they felt. And I also felt that anytime I put something on my skin and I can taste it on my tongue, because it's that toxic, and the toxicity has gone right into the cells.
Yeah.
And I taste it. It drives me crazy. But then I know I absolutely can't use it, and that's a good rule of thumb. So some things may seem to have very offensive ingredients on the label, and yet you're not offended by it when you actually put it on. Other things are trying to be some sort of a healthy version, and yet they can leave you feeling, you know, skeeved.
Mm.
So it's an interesting thing, but I don't claim that's the one thing that I just don't even play around with. You know, like when I want to get a good haircut, I go to Frederick Fekai. I don't go to the health food store to get a haircut.
Right.
If I want to use good makeup, I use great, you know, the best makeup.
Yeah, high quality stuff.
Yeah, and they're just little things, you know. But the problem is having a lifestyle where you're wearing makeup every day, where you're wearing high heels or hose or tight clothes. That's another thing that I think is really going to change. I think it's another big industry that's about to undergo. It already is starting to, but you know, you're starting to see lots of clothes made from bamboo, organic cotton.
Organic cotton, yeah. Things feel better.
Yeah, the cuts are so different. It looks antiquated to be shoving yourself into things that are, you know, for lack of a better term, just very masculine in form.
Yeah.
As opposed to the flowy feminine. I'm seeing these long skirts this season, and I don't usually, you know, care about fashion. I know I've got my uniform. I tend to just wear what I like, and I stick with it. But seeing those sorts of things and seeing some flow and some femininity coming around, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. I think it's just a sign of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, but the makeup thing is a really big deal, and keeping your skin well oiled with the high quality oils that have nothing else in them. You know, the argan oil, it's the nut of the argan tree. They also have a mask, this particular company that I love. It's the ground up argan nut in the oils, and it's heavenly. But that's all that's in it. And then the coconut oil, it's just coconut oil.
Mm.
You know, so that's what makes it all so beautiful. When I get out of the bath, these are all things I talk about, the ritual in Principle 4 of putting all this together in your own way. For me, you know, after having a shower, so I'll jump in my rebounder, I might get my sauna, and then I'll get in the shower. After I get out of the shower, I'm going to take a second and just smother my body in coconut oil or the argan oil.
Mm.
It's just, that's just part of my ritual. I don't even think about it. It's like breathing to me.
Right.
It's not like I think, okay, well, I have to check this off my list.
It makes you feel so good inside and out.
You do, and then you just honored yourself. You're if you want to maintain elasticity in your cells inside and out, you have to treat them both well inside and out. And there's so many other things in life I don't engage in, and that's the most important thing. You will have plenty of, I mean, I don't even have plenty of time, but I have enough time to do the things I need to do because it matters to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if I were to
You cut out all the other stuff that.
You do. And you have your priorities and you triage. You know, if you're in the middle of a day that's not working, things going wrong, you have to stop everything, do what's the most important thing, and then you probably have to reorganize your energy. And that might mean taking a half hour meditation, listening to an Almain CD, or doing something that will bring you back to who you are.
Mm.
So you don't make things worse by acting out of some knee-jerk reaction that has nothing to do with where you want to go. Remember to look where you're headed, because that's where you're going. Look in the direction that your thoughts and your actions and your beliefs, look where they're going. Look where they've gotten other people. Do you want to go there?
Right.
I mean, when I look at other people's thoughts and beliefs, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Neither do I. I will not be joining you on
that. I want to go where you're going, Masha.
Yeah, I want to go where you're going. Seriously. Oh, wow. Well, this has been just amazingly informative, but I feel like we need to cover more. We need to do more audios on this.
Yeah,
there's,
I mean,
a lot to
cover,
right,
and ask
questions.
Mm-hmm, for sure. But there's a lot to know, and it seems at first that there's a lot to know and a lot to do, and there is. But it's sort of like, you know, people go to college to get a 4-year degree, and this is the universal laws of life. This is much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't look at something like this. I should say to people listening, don't look at it as if it's something that you're supposed to be able to figure out in 5 minutes, because it's not, you know, at a university as a 4-year degree.
Mm.
It's as big of a deal, if not more. So
mm-hmm.
Take your time with it. Think about it all. Take it slowly, but also keep challenging yourself. I really do love the concept, and it's so true that flexibility is key, that the yogis say that you're only as old as your spine is flexible. So, you know, it doesn't take – you don't have to go and undress and get your yoga mat and go to the class and make sure, look on your computer and see what time the class is and be there 15 minutes early to get a space. I mean, that is such nonsense. Do whatever you want to do it. But that's not going to be very inviting as a lifestyle.
Especially for something that you can actually just do on your own.
Yeah. I mean, just throw down a mat and open your windows and start intuitively stretching. And, you know, for sure, go and take a couple of classes or get a good video, because you want to make sure your alignment is good and you don't want to harm yourself.
Right. And sometimes there is, you know, one of my dear friends is a yoga teacher, and she incorporates a lot of just teachings in her, you know, she talks about universal laws, and it's a beautiful way to come together and gather.
Mm-hmm.
But doing yoga is something that I will do, like right before I'm about to sit and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do some poses to just get myself all stretched out so I could sit there for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm fidgeting, you know?
Yeah, you want to get all of your cells and pathways open in alignment. You want it to be like when you breathe, your whole body breathes.
Right.
And it's all in sync, and you breathe out. Even before you get out of bed in the morning, just while you're lying there, elongate your legs. Give them a stretch. Feel your body. Own yourself before you just get out and give yourself over and start spending more energy.
Well, you know, this yoga is a perfect example of just how sometimes we get a little bit messed up, you know, in our day-to-day. And there's no judgment here. But just for example, like a lot of people go and do yoga, and a lot of people are surprised that I don't go to yoga classes and everything, and just for me, it's just something that I like to do a few poses a day. But to find out what exactly is yoga, you know, yoga is something that originated from preparing the body for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain yoga poses, all yoga poses, are meant to open up the meridians and the chakras. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just to go and get, like, long, lean arms. It actually has a meaning. Like, those poses have meanings. Okay. So, you know, just take a moment. Find out why you're doing this stuff. What is yoga all about, you know?
Yeah.
Just, it's so interesting. Once you open your mind and you want to know, like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. And even if you don't want to put a name on it, even if you just want to, you know, go into a forward bend and hang there for a little bit just to release your lower back and bend your knees a little bit so you don't, if you're new to this, you know, just feeling where everything connects. It doesn't have to be yoga. Just, you know, what if you watch a child, you watch the way they move, the way they sit. That's what we want to become.
Mm-hmm.
We want our minds to be clear enough that we can be free. We want our bodies to be flexible enough so the pathways are open and flowing. And we want to have our chi flowing so much that we don't have to think, oh, I got to fit exercise to my day.
Yeah.
It's more like, why is everybody walking and not bouncing down the street? Because
right.
I really want to bounce right now.
Uh-huh, exactly.
So it's, you know, it becomes this natural just expression, and then the world starts to look kind of silly and stiff when you're in that space.
Yes.
But it's such a wonderful place to be, and I can only say that because I've been in the other space.
Yep.
I've been in the place that's been stagnant. I've wondered, what is the point? I don't get it. It's not fun.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you're supposed to be happy because you're not starving and because your husband doesn't beat you and, you know, and you're supposed to be happy, but you're not. But there is another side of all of this, and I wouldn't believe it if I didn't live it and I didn't really know it and own it for myself. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic to share it, because I just want people to be freed of that pain.
Oh yeah. There's a better way. You know, and this is what it is. This is what it is. So thank you so much, Natalia. I really appreciate it.
So, Masha, thank you. And anyone who has questions, we will be taking your questions.
Yes, we'll address it all. Whatever comes up for you, there's no question that we won't, you know, address. So thank you, Natalia. Thank you, everybody.
Masha, thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.